So I would say to just jump in, because there's so much out there. And even if you feel like you don't really know what you're doing, if you just take that step.
Hi, welcome to Everyday Climate Champions, where we speak with inspiring community members here in the San Francisco Bay Area about how they're putting real climate solutions into action.
Thank you for joining me, Sean Mendelson, as your host for this episode of Everyday Climate Champions. Today's topic is hands-on climate smart programs in elementary schools. As an advocate for climate literacy in the school system, I'm profoundly interested in the kind of programs being utilized to further engage young people into taking care of our planet. On October 8, 2023, California passed a bill called AB 285 that ensures kids K-12 receive climate change education as part of their curriculum. There are some schools in the Bay Area leading the charge with hands-on education and restoration. Today, we're joined by Angela Werner, a third-grade teacher at McDowell Elementary, a Spanish dual-language immersion school in Petaluma, the territory of the Miwok indigenous people. She is joined by McDowell fourth grader Charlene Deras Ramos, student of Werner's from last year. Together, they have participated in several community-based school programs that help promote climate awareness and climate action. Thanks for joining me, Angela and Charlene.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here.
Angela, why is educating children at the elementary school level about climate change and restoration important to you?
I have all my life felt a connection to the outdoors due to my circumstances, living in the country, whether it was playing outside with my brothers or climbing in the trees in the park across the street or spending time camping. So I've always had that connection and opportunity to connect with nature. And I feel like as an elementary teacher, I'm in a unique position to provide opportunities for kids to be able to connect with nature, get out in nature, develop a sense of love and wanting to be in the outdoors. So I also feel that it's important for kids to know that they as kids can make a difference. There are those that may not have the voice representation. And so we're there to be able to help, whether that's animals in the creeks or the butterflies hanging around our school.
Well, it's beautiful that you have all those motivations. And I think it's great that all the students you get to work with get to participate with you. There's a program called STRAW, Students and Teachers Restoring a Watershed, developed by an organization by the name of Point Blue Conservation Science. It empowers communities around the San Francisco Bay Area to heal the land, revitalize habitats, and inspire the next generation of climate leaders. Angela, can you please tell me about how you got involved with this particular program and how it works?
Sure. I first experienced STRAW 28 years ago when I began teaching, and it was with first graders. And I was amazed that these kids had an opportunity to work in teams and be able to go out to a portion of a creek in Sonoma County and work on restoring it. STRAW teaches kids about what has caused problems for the creek. Oftentimes in our areas, it can be cattle. Kids learn about the native plants that can be planted along a creek to restore it. Kids end up working in teams and learn how to plant. And Charlene actually has been a part of that. And so she can tell you about that too.
Charlene, you were part of this program last year as a third grader when you were in Mrs. Werner's class. Can you tell me about your experience with that particular program?
I loved the experience of being with STRAW because all the activities that we did was really fun doing it, because we also learned about like how to plant the plants, and it felt like good to have the experience of doing that, because I remember during the pandemic, I had to do like everything at home and I was like bummed out because I didn't get to go to field trips.
Charlene, that's really cool that you were able to finally get out in the world and connect with nature in that way. What's really great about your school is you're involved in a myriad of climate-related programs like the East Washington Creek Cleanup, or SEEC, SEEC, the Sonoma Environmental Education Collaborative. Please tell me more about these programs, Angela.
For years, McDowell School has participated in the Petaluma River Cleanup. And what we've done at McDowell is gather a group of families, along with some community members who want to join us as well, and clean up the part of the creek that's closest to our school. The kids have their buckets, they've got their garbage grabbers, and it's also a simple way for them to know that, hey, we're making a difference, and becoming aware also of things that may need to change. For example, this year, we were noticing right near some apartments that there's a lot of cigarette butts. And so just some of the teachers talking about, hey, how can we get kids to perhaps go to city council since they're in charge of that trail, and say, this is what we notice along the creek near our school. Is there something that you guys can do to help out?
I love that. What about SEEC, SEEC, the Sonoma Environmental Education Collaborative?
The idea behind it is that students from TK through 6 at our school are receiving some kind of environmental education. Sherlyn has already had her field trip this year with the Sonoma County Water Agency heading to the Russian River.
How was that, Sherlyn?
It was pretty cool. When we got to the Russian River, we took the temperature of the water because the two members that came with us told us like what the question of what do you guys think the most clean water would be for the salmon to live in. And there was one that we had to put just normal water in and with ice cubes. And that was like the better one because it was like brighter and cleaner.
And Angela, can you tell us about the program called IUBI, or In Our Own Backyard program?
Sure. So IUBI has 4 field trips per year, and it's looking at an environment over time throughout the seasons. And the focus changes for each of the field trips. The first one is really just to get kids excited about being in nature. So it's exploration and discovery. Some of the activities include critter catching. There's also a stewardship field trip, which IUBI has now connected with STRA, where the kids have that chance to work on a restoration site and learn about why is it important to restore the creek. They've been able to compare before and after pictures because STRA has been doing this so long. They've been able to show what a creek looked like 20 years ago before kids planted and what it looks like now. And they also get a chance to create in a team what a healthy habitat would look like for the animals. What kinds of things would they need, like shades and roots, and what part each of those plays in creating a healthy creek environment.
Awesome. So over the course of this experience for the kids, what do you notice about where they start out and then when they return and see the changes and what have you? What do you notice about their development?
I think, one, they become more comfortable being in that space, and they get really excited. In fact, this last group was, they didn't want to leave, and they said, we want to live here. We want to stay here. We want to camp here. And so there was like this instant connection, excitement to be out in nature. But in the beginning, one of the things that really stood out to me was for some of those kids who haven't had a lot of experience in nature, that was kind of like, ew, dirt. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to sit on it. And I don't want to touch these bugs. And I don't see that anymore. In fact, sometimes even like on those rainy days and when the worms all come out of the soil but we're out there exercising, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, there's kids that have paused. What's going on over here? Oh, well, we're saving worms. So there's definitely been a shift in attitudes as far as kids and connection to nature.
Do you integrate local indigenous tribes at all in these programs?
Yeah, we do. And there's always a beginning circle where we are recognizing the Miwoks. Next week, my class will be going to Schoellenberger, which is a wetland. So they're right now they're learning about wetlands, and they'll be learning about how this is a really special wetland that we have here in Petaluma. There's not very many of its kind left in our world. And our McDowell students have worked to restore that with Straw, and IUB will be meeting up with the Petaluma Wetlands Alliance. And one whole section is about the Miwoks and the plants that they used, what they're for. So the kids will get to be able to see those plants and learn about Miwok children.
That's great. That was really cool. The last program I wanted to ask you about was the Garden of Eden program. Can you tell me about this program?
Yeah, so the Garden of Eden has been working with us for the past couple of years in creating a community garden. So we took a space that was pretty much lawn and turned it into a garden space for families and classrooms.
Charlene, let me ask, do you have any memories or experiences that you wanted to share?
I remember that in one of the field trips, we did critter catching. It was just fun, like going into the trees and like in the plants and trying to look for little animals.
Angela, what would you say to other teachers that want to bring these types of experiences into their classroom?
So I would say to just jump in, because there's so much out there. And even if you feel like you don't really know what you're doing, if you just take that step. Everyone that I have ever met in these programs is so welcoming and ready to be there in the classrooms and work with kids and teachers. And they've all been positive experiences. There's many of us that will do sit spots with kids where they just find a spot where they can be alone in nature, whether it's on those field trips or a space at our school, and just sit and listen and use all those senses.
It's very motivational because you're down there in the trenches, literally, you know, at the creek and what have you, and to have other teachers hear that it can be done and it's fun and kids are enjoying it, like Charlene. Well, thanks again, Angela and Charlene, for joining us today. Hey, listeners, you want more information? Look below this episode's description to find links to all of the resources that Angela mentioned, including ways you can get involved. If you're looking for a transcript of this episode, it's also waiting for you right there. Did you know that we love feedback? Yep, we really want to hear from you. Please share your thoughts by following the link to our brief listener feedback survey, also below. And be sure to hit the follow button to hear about our new monthly episodes as soon as they get released. Thanks for helping us spread the word about this podcast. You can review it, rate it, or share it with a few friends or colleagues. You can also find us on YouTube. For this episode of Everyday Climate Champions, the sound designer was Martin Sanchez, and the executive producer and editor was Dahlia Masacci. I'm your host, Sean Mendelson. Our full production team is listed below. Music in this episode is by Blue Dot Sessions.
You've been listening to Everyday Climate Champions, presented by the Climate Reality Project's Bay Area chapter. If you know any local folks who would make great guests, please drop us an email. As Climate Reality founder and former U.S. Vice President Al Gore says, solving the climate crisis is within our grasp, but we need people like you to stand up and act. To learn more, please visit climaterealitybayarea.org. See you next time.